And now for the thrilling adventures of Lightning Jim.
I won't stay back here. Let me out at once, do you hear? Let me out, I tell you.
Oh, quiet down, Belle.
I won't stay back here with this yowling pack of coyotes, I tell you. I won't. Let me out of here.
Oh, for heaven's sake, quiet down, Belle. This is the Fort Anderson jail you're in, not that fancy reformatory you got last time.
Yeah. They ain't got no special ladies department here, Belle.
Why, dirty, dulcet sidewinder, you. Take that. Come on.
That fur in one of them boots of yours done there took me ear off.
That's just lucky I wasn't inside those boots, grinding them into your face, Jake Leader. Instead of just throwing him. It was your loose running, double crossing tongue that got us all behind bars. And if you don't watch out, I'll do some talking that'll get you measured for a hook necktie. Yeah, and a 6 foot spread on Boot Hill.
Yeah, it was Jake the cold that just all into the marshal's trap.
Shut up, all of you. You're all tied with the same brush as Jake. The only difference between you and a pack of cold caps. There's a strike down your back, a yell instead of white. Shut up!
Lightning Jim and Whitey have just returned to their headquarters at Fort Anderson following a successful adventure down in Indian Territory, where they managed to capture the notorious woman bandit Belle Starr and eight of the outlaws riding under her leadership. And now we find Whitey reclining in the comfortable depths of an armchair, shoes off, feet resting on a convenient table, chuckling over a bit of gossip in the local newspaper.
Storm coming up, Whitey. Better close them windows.
Oh, you're at close, Jim.
Yeah. Sure load off my mind knowing Belle Starr's locked up good and tight, I can tell you that.
Lightning, you don't mean to tell me that you got worried over what the Belle said about the sleeping, do you?
Well, I reckon it is kind of foolish, Whitey, to let her brag and bother me. But you know her record for luck. With all the time she's had been sentenced to jail, the only time that woman ever left the prison by the front door was when her and Sam did that trick at the Detroit Reformatory last year. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I know all that, Lightning. But don't you forget that she ain't never been our prisoner before.
Yeah, I reckon you're right, Whitey. We've got a long record of good luck ourselves. It's all good to be home, dear. Everything's so quiet and peaceful. Hey, Whitey. You can take a look at this sky, will you?
Sure. Hey, them cards, they look just like my divorce.
Sure do.
I stand this like this. That's the way the sky looks this time we was in that tornado up in Iowa.
Yeah. Hey, look, Whitey, off there in the distance. That whirling dust. It is a tornado, my guy.
Sure, and it's coming straight to me. We better get down in the shed.
I'll tell you, Hed. Come on, hurry up.
Oh, it's all for the ship, sir. Open up.
Look, Whitey.
I
saw that Joyce was going to hit you, Whitey. Thought I could catch it and break the blow with my shoulder, but wasn't fast enough, I reckon. Stopped it with my head instead. Oh.
So that's why you threw yourself and talked to me. Why did you do that, Lightning? Why did you risk yourself for me? Why, I'm nothing but a dumb bitch. You're the greatest man in the world. Why did you do that, Lightning? Lightning! like the monster we see.
Upon emerging from the cellar, Whitey discovered that it was hopeless to seek help for Lightning Jim close at hand. All about him lay a scene of havoc and confusion. Cries of distress rent the darkness. Pinning his hope upon the slim chance that the garrison might have escaped destruction, he started out. Half blinded by the heavy downpour, tumbling and groping in an uncertain passage among the wreckage strewn in the wake of the savage tornado, he pushed doggedly toward the army post. At the gate, he was accosted by the sentry.
Hi there. Half a moment, lad. What's the hurry?
Oh, let me pass you, crazy fool. I called for help. Lightning Jim, it's injured.
Lightning Jim, eh?
No.
Never heard of him. I've got new orders not to.
Oh, two guns there.
I don't see it, Otto.
Colonel Steele, make this pine size cock me half to get the spinning the thought of my ribs, will you?
Off with it. Why, yes, snivelling, square-headed,
Hold on, Corporal. This man's a U.S. Deputy Marshal.
Sorry, sir. Being you at the post, I didn't know, sir.
Colonel Steele, I come for help. Lightning fleeing back in a cellar at a headquarters all alone. He's been hurt.
Lightning Jim injured?
Is it serious? He's bleeding bad from he's got the big cuts on his head. He saved my life, Colonel Steele, and now he might be dying.
The army post of Fort Anderson had lain outside the direct path of the tornado and thus had escaped to some extent the destruction which had claimed almost every home and building in the town. A portion of the barracks had been swept away by the wind, but enough had been left standing to provide shelter for the more seriously wounded of the townspeople who were being brought in by the dozens for medical attention. Into this crowded confusion, stretcher bearers carried the unconscious form of Lightning Jim. And Major Bowman, the grave and kindly old army surgeon, deserted his other patients to give the famous marshal immediate care. Weakened by exposure and loss of blood, Lightning Jim's condition was critical, and the conscientious surgeon was able to say no more than that the next few hours would tell the story.
Whitey, are you here?
Oh, I'm here, Lightning. How are you feeling now?
Oh, my head. Where are we, Whitey? Well, what happened?
Yeah, that's the no lightning. We're at the garrison. He was hurt here in the tornado.
Yeah. Now I remember. Whitey, what about Thunder?
Oh, Thunder's all right, Lightning. She didn't get a scratch.
Oh, thank God. I beat the heat of that animal.
Yeah, Whitey. I know.
How are you feeling, Lightning?
I don't know, Colonel Steele. Just come to her. Reckon.
Whitey, can I speak to you in a minute?
Oh, sure.
Let's go in my office. We'll be right back, Lightning. I'll have Major...
Hold on, Colonel. What's up?
Why, nothing at all, Lightning. I just wanted to see you.
You ain't fooling me, Colonel. What is it?
Now, listen, Lightning. You're a sick man, and Whitey can take care of what I want.
Yeah, well, I'll be sicker yet if you don't satisfy my curiosity. I know something's up.
Well, you can't do anything about it, so you might as well know. The jail was partially destroyed by the tornado, and two of the Star Gang escaped during the confusion.
Did Belle Star get away?
No. She was slightly injured, and one of the gang was killed. The gate leader and Russ Finn stole a couple of horses and was seen heading for the border.
Whitey, you gotta go after them.
Lightning, I ain't going to leave you till the doctor says you're all right.
Thanks, partner. But I'm hard to kill. I'll be all right. You're a marshal, Whitey. Duty comes first.
Oh, I know. But I hate to leave you, Lightning. Say, Colonel, could you spare a man to go with me?
Yes. Get your horse and come back to the post. I'll have a man waiting at the north gate.
Listen, Whitey. Them hombres got a good head start on you. Better take Thunder.
Thunder? Lightning, you mean that I can ride Thunder?
Yeah. But don't let nothing happen to him, Whitey. And go on. Get going.
Well, what you stopping me for this time?
I ain't stopping you, sir. I'm going with you.
You are going with me? You mean that you're the man that Colonel Steele said to work this job with me?
Yes, sir. Corporal O'Keefe, at your service, sir.
Well, for the rotten luck.
Hold on, sir. You ain't got no call to feel that way. I was only carrying out orders when I stopped you a while ago.
Oh, well, I suppose. You say your name is Hawkins?
Yes, sir. Hawkins it is, Marshal Larson.
Well, right, Mr. Mayor. Now, come on, we got the time to leave. Come on, Thunder.
Whitey seems to have no premonition of the danger into which he so gallantly rides. What happens when he meets those murderous bandits, Jake Leader and Russ Finn? And what of the notorious Bell Starr, whose threat to escape has caused Lightning Jim such concern? The story unfolds in part two of The Adventures of Lightning Jim, which follows immediately. Now for part two of The Adventures of Lightning Jim. It's the morning following the tornado, and Whitey and Corporal Hawkins are following the trail of the escaped outlaws. While back at the army barracks where the injured were brought for treatment, Lightning Jim is talking to Bell Starr, who occupies a neighboring cot.
Well, Lightning, the man whose life was in the balance less than 8 hours ago, he seemed pretty chipper.
Yeah, Bell. An old saying, the care keeps a good man down.
Now, a good woman either, Master. Don't forget that.
Another threat to escape, eh, Bell?
Take it any way you like, Lightning.
By the way, since we've got to lie here with nothing to do, I'd like to know how you got into this here business of horse stealing and bank robbing.
Well, your interest is flattering, Lightning, so I must say your description of my career is somewhat lacking in delicacy.
I heard you was a Confederate spy during the war. That right, Bell?
Yes, Lightning. Oh, it was wonderful. Thrilling, exciting, utterly different than anything I'd known in my stupid, dull, small-town existence. It gave me a taste of what real living could be.
Same old story, eh? Like the James and younger boys, you just couldn't settle down to decent living after the war was over,
It's just about the size of it, Lightning. And like the Jeff James and Cole Younger, I served under Mr. Quantrell.
You know, come to think of it, I did hear you were the Quantrell spy. Colonel McDougal over at Fort Benton. But tell me he had a run-in with you and he was just a non-com. Serving under Major Enos down in southern Missouri.
Yes, it was the first day of that encounter with McDougal, but I had my first ride with Steph as a saddle companion.
That's so, Bell?
You see, Lightning, Quantrell was in pretty desperate shape at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was operating a pitiful little company of 50 men in a territory that literally teemed with Union soldiers and militiamen. And he was badly in need of supplies and ammunition with which to carry on.
I see, and it was up to you to find out where he could get his hands on them things, huh?
Yes, Lightning, that was my job. Well, Major Enos was stationed in the town of Antonio. So I went up there, herded with one of his soldiers, and got the information I was after.
Well, the getting sounds simple enough, but what about passing that information on to Quantrell?
That was the hard part, Lightning. I knew Quantrell was trying to get a man through the federal lines, and that if successful, that man would be waiting just outside of the town of Carthage for me to bring him the information.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, as I was starting for Carthage, my Hugo, who's a sergeant at that time, stopped. Easy, Cooney, easy.
Well, no. And it's very early in the morning for a last-minute ride, Luke.
Oh, good morning, Sergeant McCoover. I'm just on my way to Carthage, and it's a long ride, so I hope you'll excuse me if I don't stand around talk.
Well, I'm sorry to have to detain you, Miss Bell, but the fact of the matter is, Major Enos wishes a word with you.
You'll have to tell the Major I just couldn't stop today, Sergeant. Tell him I'll see him the next time I come to Natonia. Now, if you'll kindly take your hand off my bridle, I'll be on the way.
I cannot do it, Miss Bell. The orders are to bring you to the Major, and bring you I must.
Why, you idiot and Highland Beast. Shut up, don't sit down like that.
Yeah, I heard a lot about that figure temper of yours, Bill.
Well, it didn't do me any good that day, Lightning. I was taken to Judge Richard's home, where Major Enos questioned me a bit about my brother Ed, who was a captain under Quantrell. And then he left me locked in the parlor. it's you again, is it? So all to stop? Yeah, what do you want now?
Them rebel tunes you've been banging out for an hour past. The major said they could tell you they were fair driving him mad.
That old Yank, a fool, doesn't have enough brains to go mad with. But I'm glad to know my music's annoying him. And you can count for me that it'll stop as soon as it sets me free. And not a minute to pause.
Well, that don't sound much like the official arrest of a war spy to me.
Oh, I hadn't been arrested as a spy, Lightning.
No?
Major Enos hadn't found out about my spying operations at that point.
Oh, I see.
I was being held for another reason, as I found out about an hour later. You call that preaching bagpipe caterwauling music?
Well, you
says you are to go the loop.
You mean I'm free? I'm free to go to Carthage?
Hey, you'll be free to go to Carthage, lass. But should you meet a detachment of Union cavalry on the way, be certain to take a good look at their prisoner. I'll bet you a Yankee dollar to a rebel once will be Captain Ed Shirley, he said.
So, your brother Ed was the man that Quantrell had sent through the federal lines, eh, Belle?
Yes, and I was simply explained it, Lightning. He'd been seen somewhere along the route and recognized. But by some miracle, he escaped capture and made it through the Carthage. Learning this, Major Enos had dispatched a cavalry troop to surround his hiding place and take him prisoner, dead or alive.
Yeah, but that cavalry troop had a good hour, 2 hours start on you, Bell, and Carthage must be 35, 40 miles from Newtonia. Surely you couldn't do nothing to save your brother's life.
Carthage was 35 miles by road map, Lightning, and that was the route the troop took. I knew a shortcut across the hills, and though there were federal pickets at intervals all along the countryside, I determined to get through the Carthage ahead of that troop. I dived down. Come on, Lucille, I'll get. They spotted us there. That's the clue. One of the bullets creased through his flank, but I kept on. Mile after mile the road. Poor little mare. But she didn't already know about cherry switches. I taught her that day. But I made it, Lightning. I got through in time to warn Ed. When that cavalry troop rode into Carthage, my brother was well on his way back to Quantrell's camp with information that made possible one of the most successful and daring raids of his career. A raid that cost the Federals thousands of dollars and the lives of over 100 men.
Well, Belle, all I got to say is it's a shame you didn't turn that kind of courage to a good cause when the war was over. Face a ride in the plains with a band of murdering cutthroats.
Trying to convert me to the side of law and order, Latin?
Well, maybe so.
Well, how about you making the first just thing, having these handcuffs taken off me? They annoy me.
Yes, sorry, Belle, but they'll have to stay on till the jail's repaired. You're safe behind bars again. You might take it into your head, try to escape, you know.
When I get ready to escape, Lightning, you may be sure a little thing like a pair of handcuffs won't stop me.
In the meantime, many miles south of Fort Anderson, Whitey and Hawkins forced their weary horses along a rocky trail.
Two thunder, two boys. Say, Hawkins, take a look at this track. dead more than an hour old, by that look.
Oh, boy. What you say, Whitey?
I said his tracks just like Chris Hawkins. That means we ought to spot those Jaspers as soon as we get out to this court.
Hope you're right, Whitey. Blasty and blimey eyes will lead you such a chase. I think his bleeding saddle is going right onto the seat of his pants.
Oh, I reckon it ain't so much fun to spend 16 hours in the saddle than when you sit. But we got to keep on riding just to see him.
Get up, Thunder.
Come on, Hawkins. We'll take this kind of show going out to this court.
We'll go as fast as we can. As soon as we meet up with him, ready, flying, fist, the happy at all, beast.
Bring him up loud, Blimey. What? And don't try no funny business either.
Steady, Thunder. Keep your voice. It's them blighters we've been trying.
You're one to get the drop on it.
Yeah, you kind of not blew your britches, Steve, when you started out the Jake Leader. You ain't Lightning Jim, you know.
Yeah, and that's a lucky thing for you, I ain't, Rick. That gives you a couple more weeks to live.
Get the guns, right?
Yeah.
Feel good for any hideout weapon, too. You ain't taking no chances.
Yeah, leave it to me, Jake.
Well, it's the end of the trail for you two, King Sir. We're taking you back in them caves and drilling you. It'll save us the trouble of burying.
Well, they've done it, Jake.
All right. Now get down off them horses, you two. Grab a couple of stalks of that there candlewood. It'll do for torches.
So we can see our targets better, eh, Jake?
Hey, right here on torches, Jake. I always thought that polecat could see in the door.
And up, we even do as you're told before I lose my patience and decide to kill you the hard way.
There's
nobody out of this here blooming
pickle, Whitey.
Yeah, let's all look at it, old man. We got to keep our eyes peeled for us and to yump this to Polecat.
Hey! I didn't tell you to pull up the horse, Desmond. Get back here, get quick.
Hold your horses, will you? Listen, we've got no guns, Whitey.
Look, got into this. That's the candlewood,
Yes. Yeah, it's about time. Now, start walking. Don't make a false move, or I'll let you have it in the match. Come on, Rex.
Yeah, Jake.
Jelly talking. I never thought I'd be walking at the head of my own funeral procession.
Blimey, doggy, say, Whitey. I don't see why that slippery, bloody weasel didn't kill us out there in the open. It ain't Christian to walk a man into his own team, it ain't.
That's far enough. Now let them torches and turn around, my baby. Hey, what's that? Some kind of animal.
Look at that, Whitey.
Yo, you think he's right?
Light them torches, you fool.
You do it, Whitey. My hands are shaking.
Go ahead, hit the man.
Who just my gun here? Hey, look at that. We've got into a den of mountain lions.
Watch out. Those cougars are trying to get out. Hey, quit waving that torch, please. You're going to get them all out. Those cougars are trying to get out.
Get off this horse. Jump
him, Hawkins. All right, you,
Yes, sir.
No, come on and help me drag these creaking juices off of here. They've got the deer and Fort Anderson, the Prince Storming, the hangman.
Why do you, man?
Lord, that's me, Larson. See how you feel, you know.
Never mind me. You got them.
Sure, we got them all.
Good work, Whitey. Well, now we got all the prisoners together again, huh?
Sure, they're all old and yay, and all except in Ben.
Well? Bell's car ain't at the jail?
No, they reckon that she was still here at the army post. Had sprained ankle or something.
She was here, Whitey. But as soon as they told me the jail had been repaired, I told the turnkey to take Bell back and put her behind bars. But that was 2 hours ago.
The turnkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that reminds me. I have a note for you. The turnkey left it with the livery stableman, and they told him not to send it over for a couple hours.
Well, I'll be doggone. She's done it, Whitey. Elstar's escaped.
Excuse?
Yeah, listen to this. Dear sir, I hope you will excuse me for what I am about to do. Elstar is a real lady, and she tells me she is a widow, too. She wants me to settle down to a new life and joy and happiness. So we are eloping in place of me taking her back to jail.
truly yours, John Hart, a turnkey Fort Anderson jailer.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Del Star eloped with a turnkey.
Guess what happened? Del Star is asleep.
Yeah, so we just found out. Eloped with a turnkey.
Eloped, eh?
Yeah.
Well, all I've got to say is that it was sure a short honeymoon for him.
Huh?
Well, has the turnkey been taken in already?
Taken in is right. Taken in by Del Star.
How?
He was just found lying on the ground about 10 miles out of town, clubbed over the head.
And so ends another chapter in the lives of Lightning Jim and his faithful deputy, Whitey Larson.